Philippians chapter 3, let's look at verse number 7. I want to probably turn this into a little bit of a series on a few Sunday nights. The topic of how not to get burned out. And I don't know if you ever heard of that before. You hear people say, I just got burned out. And they were going along doing fine, and it seemed like just something happens and they just give up. And they just kind of put it in park and no longer. It could be, it's almost an inoccupation. You know, sometimes you'll see officers in the law enforcement, they've been doing it for a long time, and something happens and something triggers and they just get burned out, and you'll hear they can do crazy things can happen. And what they, in their terms, what they call eat a gun, or eat a bullet. And it happens in, Christians get burned out serving God. They're just busy going full throttle. And they don't take care of themselves and take care of some proper things in their life, and they just get burned out. And you don't have to get burned out. You can finish like you started. I want to talk to you tonight about some of those things in the next couple of weeks. Tonight's going to be a little more on the doctrinal side, and then the next couple of weeks we'll talk about some practical application as well. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7, the Bible says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. That's a wonderful word. Of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now that word perfect is not sinless perfection, but mature. Be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by that same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us an example. For many, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Father, tonight we thank you again for this very familiar passage of scripture that we have looked at, Father, in this place several times, not only by myself, but by other preachers. Now tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look at this thought of how to avoid being burned out, how to finish well. And Father, I pray that you bless tonight. We ask you to pray. Amen. Paul, here we find in verse 14, Paul writes that famous verse that we've read about many times and preached about, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul was pressing toward the mark. We find in verse 13 that he says he counted himself as not having apprehended. And so he wasn't there yet as he writes this chapter. He wasn't to where he wanted to be. He wasn't in heaven. He wasn't where he wanted to be spiritually. He wasn't done with the will of God yet, but he wanted to be. So he's pressing toward the mark. Then what I find amazing is that if we turn to 2 Timothy, just to the right some, in chapter 4, you know the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 6 through 8, we read of Paul's last words, his last thoughts here. And he says in verse number 6, he says, as he prepares to be martyred for the cause of Christ, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And so we find that Paul, in one chapter, in Philippians, he's saying, I'm not yet apprehended. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm serving God. Then he says in his last writing, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm ready to be offered up. He said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, because he didn't stop in the middle, because he didn't quit along the way, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so I find in that verse, I find some motivation, what made Paul continue to move forward and press toward the mark, his love for Christ. His love for Christ. And so what a difference now, what a completion of his story, that he was pressing toward the mark, and then in the end here he says, I've finished, I've reached that mark. Now, his life mattered for Christ. And that's my thought tonight a little bit is, do you want your life to matter for Christ? I want my life to matter for Christ. I want my life to have eternal value. And so do you want your life to matter for Christ Jesus? Now, I say that tonight, I bring that out because not everyone's life will count for Christ. If you look back at Philippians, Paul warns the church in verse number 18, he says, for many walk of whom I have told you often. He often pointed out false teachers. And I don't have any doubt that Paul might even have called some names. Said, watch this guy. Watch this individual. Watch these people. He says, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Paul's saying here, in one aspect, he's saying, I want my life to matter for Christ, and I want your life to matter for Christ. And he says, not everyone's life will matter for Christ. Not everyone will finish their race. Not everyone will keep the faith. And not everyone will receive that crown of righteousness. And we find here that what a tragedy a wasted life is. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to have your life wasted. What a tragedy it would be to, at the end of your life, after you have gone through your life as a young person and working and laboring and raising a family and going here and there, at the end of your life to lay on your bed and realize I wasted my life. It's empty. And people give their lives to things that have no eternal value. And they think that somehow if we get these possessions, if we can make this, get this position, have this job, have this career, that somehow it makes my life of great value and it'll mean something in the end. They get to the end of their life and they have left Christ out. You see, what was their problem? Well, their God was their belly. They just served the flesh. They served with their desires. They followed their heart and they chased their dreams and their glory was in their shame and they gloried in the evil things of the world and they come to the end of their life and they realize that when they're facing eternity, and everyone will, that, wait a minute, if I didn't labor for Christ, my life has no eternal value. It doesn't count for Christ. They arrogantly live for themselves and their end, the Bible says, was destruction. So tonight I wanted to talk to you about how not to get burned out, how to live your life for Christ. You know, the Christian life is full of surprises. It's full of surprises. Many of us tonight, we can probably look at our life and say, I'm living a life right now that was not in my plans. It might even be tonight you're saying, I'm in a church that was not in my plans. Right? That don't offend me if that's the case. The fact of the matter is that God brought you here for a reason, and there's a reason why you're here, and you can serve God here tonight as well and make your life matter here as well. But life is sometimes full of surprises, and the Christian life can seem to be demanding. You know, Paul called it work for a reason. The Lord Jesus Christ himself called the Christian life serving God. He called it work for a reason, and so it can be demanding. And if you read 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul lists there a long list of sufferings that he faced, not because he had a career, or because he was at the boat gambling, or because he was running around drinking. Paul suffered a lot of things because he served Christ. He suffered shipwreck, he suffered beating, He suffered being stoned. He suffered being hungry. He suffered the ministry of living without things, to the point where even he was starving and at times naked and didn't have what he needed as far as physical, some physical needs. And God used him in a great way. But the Christian life sometimes can be demanding. In fact, Paul said besides the suffering that he faced for the cause of Christ, he had to care for the churches. The care of the minister was upon him, and it weighed upon him. In serving, it can be at times, it can seem like you're the only one serving God. Right? That's how Elijah felt. I'm the only one left, Lord. And he had that syndrome like, no one believes like I believe, no one serves like I serve, and I'm the only one left. Sometimes a Christian life can seem like, as you serve God, that no one cares. And sometimes as you labor for Christ, maybe in the pew or the pulpit, it seems like no one's listening. We have piped and no one dances. Right? Right? And that's the way it sometimes seems. You know, sometimes we're just like big grown kids, and we can talk and talk and talk, and necessarily we don't always move when we're supposed to move and change when we're supposed to change. And so the Christian life can sometimes be demanding and not always what we expect to be. There are times in the Christian life when the wind gets sucked out of your sails. Christian life is going smoothly, and it seems like everything is right on plan, and this is the way we want to live our life, and there's blessings, and all of a sudden things shift gears, things change, and all of a sudden your tomorrows and you are no longer good mornings. And what you thought would be fantastic in your golden years, your later years of life, all of a sudden you're missing church family around you. People leave, family members leave, peers members leave, and there's heartache and struggles, and the bottom falls out of things. And if you're not careful, and I'm not careful, we won't finish well. In the world, and sometimes the world calls that burnout. And sometimes you just say, you know what, what's the use? What's the use? What does that matter? I'll tell you something tonight, right here in the middle here, it does matter. Does matter how you and I finish. And sometimes we go along and we just kind of give up because we don't take proper care. Tonight I'm not talking about, not trying to be humanistic tonight in my thought or try to, you know, make sure that, you know, you're number one and take care of number one. All that stuff to me makes me want to puke and gag. And Christ is number one, by the way, and he's probably number one in our life. But there are some things that we should do as Christians that we can live our life to. We can say, I'm pushing toward the mark. So that way when Christ calls us home, we can say, I've finished my race. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And I don't want to burn out. I like to burn up for Christ. I like to just, you know, I like to keep on going. And I was talking to Brother Wilbur the other day. And, of course, he's 65 years old this year. And he knows that his time in the ministry is at the backside. He said, I want to go out with my boots on. I don't want to die in the bed. And I want to serve God as well and serve that you do as well. But sometimes it's amazing. Folks that are just going along extremely well, something snaps, something changes, and the people that you would thought would never give up, never quit, all of a sudden one Sunday, like, well, where they are? Where are they at? What happened to them? And you go by and talk to them, and they're just as angry as can be and bitter and upset. And you might as well talk to the wall as talk to them about getting things right. They're just set and they're just gotten hard. And the longer they're away from the things of God, the harder they get. And they just give up. So how not to get burned out? Let me give you a few thoughts tonight. These are very simple, not profound, but very simple. And we'll talk tonight about some doctrinal things, and then we'll talk a little while later about some practical things in your life. Number one is this. Keep reaching. Never get complacent. Verse number 13, he writes this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm going to keep reaching. I'm not going to get complacent. I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. Folks, I'm going to tell you something tonight. No matter how long you've been serving God and been saved and been going to church, you are not there yet. You don't have the luxury to say, you know what, I'm pretty good, I've arrived, and I'm just as good as, I am so good, it's like I'm in heaven already. No, you're not there yet. You're not apprehended. You're not finished. And as long as you're breathing and God's got you here in this place, God's not done using you yet. Now, sometimes our roles change. Things that we used to do when we were 25, we can't do them at 65. And that's where the next generation comes up and says, I'll do it. Hey, I'll teach a class, and I'll come to prayer meetings, and I'll go knock on doors, and I can run a bus and bring some kids in, and I can make meals for people, and I can help clean the bathrooms and vacuum floors. I'll do those things. Sometimes our role changes, but we're not done yet. You're not done yet. And so Paul said, I'm going to keep reaching. I'm not going to get complacent. I'm still in the state of imperfection, he says, verse number 12. I'm not obtained or already perfect. I'm not already there. Matthew Henry, he wrote this. He said, the best men in the world will readily own their imperfection in this present state. The very best men says, as Paul did, I've not yet obtained. You know, sometimes folks get burned out because they think, you know what? I've done all there is to do and I'm pretty good. And they lose sight of goals. They lose sight of pressing forward. They lose sight of who God is. And they get focused on themselves. I've arrived. You know, I read my Bible and I pray and I give to missions and I help. And, you know, there's nothing for me more to achieve or to obtain. Paul said, I'm not there yet. I'm not going to get complacent in my life. I'm not doing all there is to do. Again, things change. I want to tell you something. Never get to the place where you get to, you know what, I'm just going to sit in my rocking chair and rock my life away. Man, don't do that. Man, even if you're in the rocking chair, you can pray. Man, we put so little emphasis on prayer among God's people. Why is it the last thing that we do? Why is it that we just, you know, give a few minutes to prayer when it should be one of the first things that we do and the most effort that we give to? Hey, the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. And we do a lot of Christian work in the flesh, in our own power. Think of how more effective that we would be in this life, in our church, and in Dubuque, if we had the power of God upon our lives through prayer. And you may not be able to pass out Bibles or on a bus, but you can pray for those doing it. We have so many people that our world today has so full of distractions, and rather than pray, man, it's amazing, you know, we don't have time to serve God, we got time for phones and video games and cable and little dumb games on our phones that we spend hours playing and watching YouTube videos and paying for cable and watching all kinds of things on TV. Oh, by the way, I better pray. Man, put some of those devices away. Shut off the one-eyed Jezebel and get on your knees. Get beside a bed somewhere. Find a time of prayer. So what if I fall asleep? That's okay. When you wake up, start praying again. But pray. Yeah. Number two is this. Number one is keep reaching. Number two is keep forgetting. That gets easier the older you get. Keep forgetting. Look at verse number 13 again. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. We find here that, listen, you will never apprehend, you will never go beyond if you're always living in the past. Listen, if anybody had a reason to live in the past, Paul did. I mean, really, that guy, though he was religious, he was a scoundrel. He was an enemy at one time, an enemy to the cross. You know why he could spot enemies? Because he used to be one. God changed him. And he could have lived his life he could live his life, all curled up in a fetal position and depressed and anxiety and fear and woe is me and all kinds of emotional problems if he had lived in the past. But he didn't live in the past. He moved forward. He determined, I'm going to forget some things in my past. I'm going to forget some things. You see, you can't let what you used to be determine what you will be for Christ. Amen. Well, preacher, I used to be. Well, that's a great thing, but forget about it. At least, thank God he can say you used to be. Right? What about to say, I used to be, and you can put everything you want to put in there, but when he got born again, and Christ changed, saved you, he changed you, now you're a child. Quit living in the past. Quit looking and say, well, I used to make havoc of a church. Yeah, Paul used to, but God used him as an example. And God used it, blessed him. You can't let what you did yesterday be your service for today. You know how many times I hear people say, well, I used to? Yeah, I used to do that. I used to sing in the choir. I used to go soul winning. I used to pass out tracts. Well, what made you stop? Are you finished? Are you done? Quit counting what you did yesterday as God's service for today. Hey, thank God for the day. I'm not making light of yesterday. Thank God for those things. And by the way, you young folks, don't live off the shirt tails of your parents and say, well, my parents. Yeah, a lot of parents did a lot of things for the Lord. As they got older, things changed, but it doesn't mean that that's good for you now, young people. You get involved. And Paul, listen, Paul said in chapter number 3 of Philippians, he said, listen, he could go back and listen. He said, I was somebody. I had the right family and the right degrees, and I had all the legal things down, and I was circumcised a certain day, and I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and I was a Pharisee, and I was zealous, and I was a righteous man in the eyes of others, but I count those things but loss for Christ. So I want to know Christ. I want to serve Him. And so keep forgetting. Keep forgetting what you used to be. Keep forgetting what you used to do. And just to count all those things lost for Christ's sake that you may know Him. So you'll never apprehend living in the past. Next, you'll never apprehend living in bitterness and offense. You see, you got to forget, and this is a hard one, you got to forget sometimes your hurts. You know, sometimes we get hurt along the way, and we carry that thing for a long time. And we use that as a crutch to give us a reason to get burned out. Why aren't you serving God? I used to, but you know, I got hurt along the way. You know, everybody that goes to church for very long can tell a story how something happened to you in the house of God. You're not the only one. You don't have a unique situation. Preacher, I had the worst case of it. Probably not. Probably, I'm not saying it wasn't bad, but probably wasn't the worst. And even if it was the worst, you can't go forward and live for Christ living in the past. Carrying around your hurts and your bitterness and your anger. Hey, you gotta determine, I'm gonna forget those things. What happened to you? I don't remember. Man, he said, you know how you know you're still bitter? If it comes up in conversation all the time. No matter what you're talking about, you go back to, well, I remember when. That thing's still right there, isn't it? Right there, it's still right. And you'll bring it up to anybody that will listen to you, and they can be talking about their situation and what they're going through, and you want to remind them, well, I've been through some things. Man, it's right there. You can't go forward very well for Christ. And it's going to burn you out one day. You live in the past. Hey, keep forgetting those heart hurts and offense. You'll never apprehend living in guilt and shame. Now, here's the thing that the world doesn't get, but there are times when guilt and shame is good. There are times, listen, guilt and shame is supposed to bring about repentance. So there are times when God wants us to feel guilty. I'm guilty. I've done it. And if you're ashamed of it, that's a good thing because that'll help you repent and say, I don't want to do that again. But listen, you can't apprehend for Christ living your entire life in guilt and shame. Say, preacher, I've messed up in sin. All right, forget those things and press toward the mark. I mean, get those things right and confess them, but press toward the mark. Forget some things. Preacher, my family messed up. Yep. And as I read the Old Testament, I find men after men of God whose boys and sons messed up. I mean, was there a greater prophet than Samuel? What a man of God. You can't find anything in the Bible negative about Samuel. But his two boys were terrible priests, terrible prophets. Look at David. We can go on and on about these men of God. And you say, preacher, I don't always know the answers why. I know one thing. Every person has to choose for themselves to serve God. Look up here now, young folks. Just because your parents are here doesn't make you a good Christian. I can tell you this, some of you are not. Then look at me like I'm, don't tell anybody, preacher. I don't have to, it's obvious. I'm not against you, because I'm not a very good Christian. That's why you're here, two peas in a pod, right? Birds of a feather flock together. But you can't go off what your parents do. You've got to decide for yourself. But you can't live in the past saying, well, my family messed up, so I'm finished. And also, if you're not careful, that grief will swallow you up. And that sorrow and that hurt, that heartache will consume you. And you'll say, what's the use? If I'm going to serve God, where's my family at? Where's my children at? Where's my grandkids at? Let me tell you something. You'll make it worse by burning up. You'll make it worse by saying, I'm finished. I'm done. And so I'm not saying forget your family. You got to forget some things and move on. Sometimes we find that sometimes there are burdens too heavy to carry. Let me tell you, there are burdens, let me rephrase that. There are some burdens that we have in life that are too heavy for you to carry on your own. They're just too heavy. And so there are sometimes, listen, he says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him for he careth for you. There are times you just have to give God, here's my burden, I can't carry it. And forget, I don't mean forget like, you know, I don't care about those things, but you got to forget some things and press toward the mark. For Christ's sake, there are some things you're going to have to forget to move forward. For Christ's sake, there are some things you're going to have to count as loss to move forward. Number three is this. Keep your eyes on the mark. Keep your eyes on the mark. Your body will follow your eyes. I'm not a bicyclist. I had a bike before. And I don't mind riding a bicycle. But I'm told and I understand that wherever you look, that's where your bike goes. Right? Amen? And so, and I watched my boys when they rode their bikes, and all of a sudden, you know, they would look off to the side, and they start going, their bike would start going that direction. And when we used to live up on North Cascade Road on top of that hill there are times when we'd ride our bikes down that long hill, and I would watch the boys, and it would just scare me to death to watch them go down the hill. Because they had no fear of speed or fear of falling. And you know, they would, you know, and we would, and on my bike, we'd be doing 45, 48 miles an hour down this hill on a bicycle. And sometimes, now listen, hang on, with no helmets. Because we were raised in the 70s. Who wears helmets in the 70s? Didn't even know what they were. No elbow pads, no knee pads. Just, you know, living free. Wind blowing through our hair. Yeehaw! And the boys, they would just drive me nuts because they were just, you know, looking all over and having a good time and swerving their bike. It's like, whoa, you're going too fast. They just, you know, tuck and go, just kind of glide down and don't mix sudden movements. Because your body's going to follow where your eyes are looking. When you drive a car, how many of you like to go shopping and hunting and looking and sightseeing when you're driving the car? Right? And if you're like me, when you're driving along, you're looking for deer and turkey and wildlife, and so you're looking in the woods, and all of a sudden you hear the rumbles trips. Your wife's like, your wife says, "Do you want me to drive?" No, I just want you to be quiet and let me hunt. your body will follow your eyes. An archer must keep his eyes on the target when he's aiming. And so there is a goal tonight. We're pressing toward the mark, that's heaven. How not to be burned out? Keep your eyes on the mark. Keep your eyes upon Christ. Let me tell you something tonight, church. Being wealthy is not our goal. Now, if God so chooses to bless you with wealth, amen. We'll rejoice in that, and we'll expect you to tithe. But that's not our goal. Our goal tonight is not to be financially secure. Now, that's a nice thing to think about, because I have no inkling to be wealthy. Really, I don't. You know, if for some reason, you know, the other day my wife went to work and they gave her a little scratch-off ticket for a prize, and so she didn't know what it was, and she took it home and she scratched it off and she won $2. And I said, go buy another one. We can see if we can win 10,000 this time. She says, how would I explain that to the church? I will think of something. I have no inkling to be wealthy, but I'll tell you what, as a 51-year-old man, being financially secure is awful tempting. You know, just to be secure financially, to have more money than month. When the bills come in, it's like, I got that covered. When the car breaks down, I got that covered. When you want to go on a trip somewhere, yeah, I got that covered too. You know, and so that's not our goal. That's not what we're pressing toward. We're not pressing toward being famous or being having a position of power. You see, being somebody and having a position is not our goal. Filling our belly with our desires is not the goal of the believer. We're pressing toward heaven. Verse number 20 says, for our conversation is where? In heaven. Hey, that's our citizenship. That's where we belong. That's where our life is. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we find tonight that keep your eyes on the mark. Listen, the mark tonight is heaven. The mark tonight is being like him. Say, well, preacher, things get hard. It always won't be like this. By the way, I'm not making light of what we're going through, but there's a generation of Christians that had a lot worse than we did. And if the Lord tarries, there can be a generation of Christians that have a lot worse than we do. I'm making light of what people go through, but how do you not be burned out? By getting the big picture that, listen, right now my burden, I'm going to exchange one day for a crown. You see, we want a crown, but Christ said this, carry your cross first. You can't skip the cross for the crown. The cross comes, then the crown. Let me tell you something, that cross will never be too heavy for you to bear if you follow Christ. If you live in His will. But keep your eyes upon the mark, keep your eyes upon heaven, and when you face burdens and heartaches and you're a little bit confused at times, you don't, I don't know what to do. Hey, keep your eyes on heaven. That's where we're going. Keep your eyes on the mark. In fact, he says this. He said the believer's prize is a high calling. There is no prize like heaven. Say, preacher, how is heaven going to be like? I can't explain it to you. I don't have the words to describe what heaven will be like one day. But it's called the high calling of the believer. You see, our Savior's in heaven. And we'll see Him face to face. Our redemption is in heaven. And we'll be changed like to be like Him. And we'll change in this vile body to be like Christ Jesus. So how not to be burned out tonight? Keep your eyes on the mark. You have to keep heaven in your vision. You have to get the big picture. So if you get your eyes distracted, start looking at the things of this world. How bad things are. How bad that you've been mistreated. How things aren't fair. And how things you don't like. That becomes your focus. You can come to a place in life you can say, you know what, I'm done with all this mess. I can just be happy by myself. And it's called burnout or quitting. But if you keep your eyes on the mark, on Christ Jesus, on heaven, you make it, you can say to the end, I finished my fight. Number four and lastly tonight is this, and we'll be finished. This is kind of what I wanted to come to tonight, this point here. Keep your focus, not just your eyes, but keep your focus on the prize. Verse number 14, Paul said this, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said that every distraction I face, I still face that distraction, but I press toward the mark. When I was growing up, there was two types of toys you could play, well more than two types, but there was two types of cars. Well, there's many types of cars. There was one car that would do nothing. I mean, you had to push it yourself, you know. It wouldn't go by itself. And you had to push it and have fun, you know. And they had Matchbox cars and Hot Wheel cars and big cars and Tonka toys. The metal ones that if you fell on, you'd crack your head wide open on. Those are the best ones. And we had all those toys. Then you had those ones that you could pull back until you heard the wheels click, 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 let it go, and it would shoot off. The problem is, whenever that car would hit something, it'd veer off a different direction. It might go along and hit a little bump in the carpet, change directions. It might hit a little thing on the floor or something and change direction. You couldn't control it, just go where it wanted to go. But then when he got a little older, all of a sudden came out remote control cars. Boy, were they cool. Because not only they power themselves, but you could steer them. And you could sit back and run into things. You could chase your dad around and hit his foot, you know, and get him upset. Run through the kitchen with that thing. And there are Christians tonight who are like the first car, but you got to constantly push them and push them and get them going. But then here's where many of us are at. Many of us are like that second car. And you get, boy, you get cranked up and you pull back until you hear the wheels clicking, click, 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 click. You let it go. And boy, you're off as fast as you can go. But the first obstacle you hit, you change directions. And then all of a sudden, the next obstacle you hit, you change directions. Before you know it, the prize is over that way and you're going that direction. You see, we're all going to face obstacles tonight. You're going to be running along in your life, and you're going to bump into temptation. If you're not careful, you're going to veer off. But if you're like that remote control car, and God's got the remote, you'll face that obstacle, you'll bump against it, but then you're right back on track again. You're going to face offenses. So how do you know? Because I'm going to offend you. Say why? Because I'm trying to. I want to push your buttons just a little bit to get you to think. I want times to make it a little uncomfortable for you to sit in the pew and say, "Is he talking about me? Am I need to get some things right?" If you're not careful, it'll throw you off course. That preacher's always preaching the same thing. He's always getting my case. Nothing's ever good enough. It'll get you off course. Hey, you're going to face some disappointments and some heartaches. Some, that's not right, God. God, I served you and I did what you told me to do. And now all of a sudden, God, I'm broken hearted. And if you're not careful, you back that second car, you'll hit that bump and you're going to change course and your mark is out of your vision. But if you just give God the remote and determine, you know what? I might hit some obstacles and I might get knocked down. I'm going to get right back up again. I'm going to press toward the mark. Toward the mark. Listen, let God set the mark, by the way. Let God determine where the mark is at. Then when all of a sudden you face an obstacle and you face a bump in the road, it might knock you off. You're driving a car. You know, sometimes you can be driving a car, all of a sudden, man, you hit a bump. And it makes me mad when I hit a bump. Because it means I got to either rotate my tires or get my tires fixed or get my car aligned again. And you hit a big bump. And it knocked you off a course, you know. But you got to get right back on. Get that car pointed down the road straight again. That's how we ought to be tonight. When you're driving through the Christian life, when you face an obstacle, you hit a bump, and boy, sometimes it can rattle the cages. Like, what'd you hit? I don't know. And boy, that car feels it. Let me tell you something. You want to hit a bump in a Prius. That'll be checkmate. You'll know you hit a bump then. Especially, you put the three of us in the Prius. Those bumps, listen, little bumps become big bumps. Sometimes the Christian life can really be bumpy. But Paul said this, no matter what I face, whether it's shipwreck, whether it's prison or stoning, I'm going to bump against that obstacle, but I'm pressed toward the mark. I watch people spin their wheels because they let every obstacle change their direction. If the bark is right, and it is, by the way, whatever obstacle you face, get back on the mark. Press toward the mark. I like a movie called Chariots of Fire. You probably have all seen that. I want to play it here some years ago, but it has a couple of scenes where they drink in it, so you don't play it here for New Year's. But Eric Liddell, he was born to Scottish missionaries in China, was raised there, but he was a great athlete. Great ball player, great rugby player, great runner. 1924, he entered into the Olympics, and he entered into the 100-meter dash, the 100-meter run. Because he was a devout Christian, he later learned that that dash, that race would be held on Sunday afternoons. He said, "I will not run on the Lord's Day." Amen. And he didn't. Well, now we do anything on the Lord's Day, won't we? We would say, running. What's the big deal about running? Well, he didn't run on the Lord's Day. So he was favored to win that race and win the gold in that race. And so as a sprinter, he dropped out of that race, and he entered into the 400-meter race, which is a little bit long for a fast sprinter. And he entered that race, and he was not favored to win at all. In fact, the odds were against him. But in that race, not only did he win that race, he set the world record in that race. He ran it at 47.6 seconds, that race, and set the record. He held that record for 12 years. In fact, he went on to win other records and other races, but he honored the Lord. He pressed toward the mark, and he won. Tonight, I want to encourage a Christian tonight, determine to know Him. Paul said, I want to know Him. I want to press toward the mark. Christian, listen, there's not one of us tonight, me included, that if we're not careful, we won't face burnout. And I've watched Christians serve God in their youth and in their middle years and just go on fire for Christ and do all the things there is to do. Something happens along the way, I'm done. Whether it's from the pulpit or the pew, I'm done. I'm done. And they don't serve God again. But our heart tonight is this. I want to press for the mark so I can say, I finished. So I can hear, well done. So I can bring God glory. But you got to keep your eyes on the goal. When trials come, and they will, they're going to bump you. They're going to knock you down. But get back up. Find where's the mark? Where's the mark? There it is again. That's where I'm going. And the mark is always toward Jesus. Well, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight as well as we look at this subject for the next some Sundays in the evening hour. Lord, I want to be a help to our church family. And Father, Lord, in our busyness, Lord, sometimes we're not careful, we get overwhelmed. And God, if we face heartache and distractions and just temptation, I've seen so many people say, I'm just finished, I'm done. And Lord, they're so close to the end. And God, they give up. They get burned out. Lord, maybe help us tonight, I pray, to finish and finish well. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible. This we pray in your name. Let's all tonight stand together. As the music begins to play an invitation song this evening, you come, would you come? Say, preacher, I'm not saved. And I'm in the church, and this is an evening service, and folks think that I'm saved, but I've not been saved. And between this morning and tonight, I realized I need to get born again. I've trusted my own self, my own righteousness, but I need to get born again. Tonight, would you come? How about a young person tonight? You know that you're saved this evening. I mean, really born again, changed. You're His child, but you have doubts about it. Tonight, would you come and get born again? Perhaps you'd say, preacher, I faced some obstacles and I'm like that car. Man, I was pulled back until the clicking sound started. They let me go. And boy, I was going along, but I hit some obstacles along the way. I hit some bumps and boy, I've been going the wrong direction. Wrong direction. I'm missing the mark. But tonight, by God's help and by His grace, I want to get back. I want to press toward the mark. I want to get back. I want God to have the control of my life. I want Him to run me and use me. I want my life to count for Christ. Tonight, would you come this evening and get back on track?